Today's sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes Zayin. We're getting to the very top of the brand new Mishnah, Tes Zayin Omud Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, there are four times during the year that the world is judged, and they are judged on different aspects of what the world needs during those four times of the year. So the Mishnah tells us, on Pesach time, the Pesach ala tvua, the world is judged on how much tvua, how much grain will be successful that year. And Ba'atzeres, on Shavuos, Aperos Ilan, on the fruits of the trees, how much fruits will be produced, how successful the trees will be in terms of producing fruits. Berosh Hashanah, following the calendar, so we start off with Pesach, then we go to Atzeres, Shavuos, and then we go to Rosh Hashanah. Kol Boy Olam, all the creatures of the world, Ovrim Lefanov, they come before our Kadosh Baruch Hu, one by one individually, Kivnei Moron, like the Bnei Moron. The Gemara will explain on Daf Yud Ches what exactly the Bnei Moron means. There'll be three interpretations there. We'll just give one right now, like the lambs, like the sheep, that they're passing through one by one, and they are being judged individually. There'll be other interpretations. We'll wait till Daf Yud Ches, Amud Aleph, till we get there. This concept, the Mishnah continues, that on Rosh Hashanah, all the world's creatures are judged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is based upon the following Pasuk Shenemar, HaYotzer Yachad Libam, the one who created all their hearts, HaMaven is called Maaseim. He understands all of their Maasim, all of their actions, and therefore he will judge them. And then finally, we continue the cycle of the year. We go to Sukkot after Rosh Hashanah. Obechag, Chag always means Sukkot. Just like Atzeres always means Shavuos. Obechag, Nidonin al Hamoyim. On Sukkot, we're judged for the water. How much water there will be. Will there be adequate supplies of water for the world? And the Gemara will explain why specifically on Pesach, we're judged on the Tua. On Atzeres, we're judged on the Peres Elon. And on Sukkot, we're judged on the water. And of course, on Rosh Hashanah, we're judged on, in general, our Maasim. The Gemara will explain all of this. It's a very interesting shir today, a very esoteric shir as well. So the Gemara starts off and says, Hai Tua. What Tua are we being judged on Pesach? We said, the Pesach ala Tua. Which Tua are we talking about? Elaima, if you're going to tell me, Ha Tua de Kaima, you're telling me that the Tua that's already in the field, we're going to be judged on Pesach, on that Tua. So most of it's already grown. Call Hani Harpaske, Rashi says Harpaske means mikros, all the happenings, all the doings, all the growth till now. Call Hani Harpaske, all the growth till now, the Adu Allah, Rashi explains Sha'avru Allah, all the growth until now, Emas Itan. When was that judged? If you tell me on Pesach, we're going to be judged on the Tua, well, the Tua is halfway grown already. So what Tua are we talking about that you're being judged on Pesach? So the Gemara says, Ela Tua de Mizdara. We're talking about the Tua that you're going to plant this coming year. So Rashi says, She'asid Lizrah b'marchesh on Haba. They planted the Tua, much of the grain that they planted, they started planting the slower growing crops, the slower growing grains, like we'll see. There are certain grains that grow slowly. So, for example, wheat is a slower growing grain, so they planted that in Marcheshwa. So by the time Pesach comes around, it's already been growing for 4 or 5 months. So therefore, it can't be that on Pesach you're being judged on last year's crop. So the Gemara says, on Pesach you're being judged on Tua, the Mizdara, on the Tua that you're going to grow in the next planting season, and that's what you're being judged on Pesach. Gemara says, Lememra, that seems to imply the Chad Dina Mizdana, that there's only one judgment on all of the grains. But that can't be. Votani, because we learned in the Braisa, Tavua, when you have wheat, She'era Bo Keri. Keri, Rashi tells us, is referring to some sort of a natural accident. Kigon Borod Oshidophon. It is like a hail that came down, or some sort of a blight that came down on the crops. And the Gemara continues, Oh Onis. And in Rashi, he brings down the Bach over there. In Rashi, it's brought down that Oh Onis means Ayde Odom, a human being caused this destruction of the crops. For example, Kugon Chayolos. There was a war, there was a battle, and man caused the crops to be destroyed. So whenever you have a accident over here that happened, either Keri or an Onis, something happened over here to the crops. So if it occurred Kodem Pesach, if you're dealing with crops that were already present at the time of Pesach, so when did this judgment occur? Nidones Shilavar. They were judged on last Pesach that this was going to happen to them. If this is occurring after Pesach, that this hail came and destroyed the crops, or the marauding troops came and destroyed the crops, if it occurred L'achar Pesach, so this was judged Nidones L'haba. This was judged on the just past Pesach, and that was judged then that this was going to occur. So, in other words, there clearly were two types of judgments. If there was crops that were destroyed before Pesach, they were judged the previous Pesach. And if the crops that were destroyed right after Pesach, they were judged on that Pesach. So clearly, it's not chad dina mizdana, it's at least two dinim mizdana. Similarly, adam shirbo keri onis. If it befell upon a man, some disaster, either a natural disaster or a human-created disaster. So again, if it occurred kodam Yom HaKippurim, if it was before the Gemar Din on Yom Kippur, so nidon l'sha'avar, that was decided on last year's Yom Kippur. If it occurs this year after Yom Kippur, l'acha Yom HaKippurim, nidon l'abat, this was judged on this year's Yom Kippur. So clearly, there are two judgments. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Shema Minot, Trei Dinot Mizdana. You see from here that there are two judgments, not only one judgment. And when it says that the Pesach Alatzvua, it depends when. Whether it was before Pesach, then it was last year's judgment. It was after Pesach, it was this year's judgment. Amar Abaya adds further, and he says, Hilkach, therefore, practical advice to a person. Ki chazi inish, when a person sees the matzlach zara afla, that when you see that your crops are growing very, very well this year, you planted them, Rashi says, for example, in Mar Cheshvan. Rashi points out that chita, as I mentioned before, wheat, and kusemis. Kusemis is spelt, so these are crops, shenizroim b'mar cheshvan, they require a long period of time to grow. Shein marin lispashel, they take a while to ripen and mature, so you planted them early. And if you see that you planted them right now, during the mar cheshvan period of time, and you see that Baruch Hashem, they're growing very, very well, very quickly go and plant another crop at the same time, a more faster growing crop as well. Likadem, go quickly, velizra harfa, and go and plant a fast growing crop. For example, Rashi says, hasara, barley. Mimaharis lisbashel, it grows very rapidly compared to the wheat and the spelt. Vizoranosor bishvat, the other. Normally, they're only planted later in the calendar year, in Shvat or in Adar. The kivan, the afla, mitzlach, since you saw that the spelt and the wheat were going well, so quickly go and plant the barley, because shmamino, you can see from here, litova nidom the Pesach Shavar. Last Pesach, they gave a good psak that the wheat would grow well, the grains would grow well. So quickly, while you still have time to be included in that psak, lefikoch yamar lizroa, Rashi has a gifts of bizriya shniya, others have the gifts of the bach reviya shniya, quickly go and plant more, because the judgment has already been done, and they'll grow enough before Pesach, when they would be judged again, that they fall under last year's judgment, which you can see already is a good judgment. So Abai gives practical advice to the farmers. Nagmar asks, Mani Masnisen, who is the author of our Mishnah? We have four opinions that we're now going to bring down, and none of them seem to jibe exactly with our Mishnah. One is close, but none of them are exactly like our Mishnah. So, Mani Masnisen, who is the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rav Meir. It's not the opinion of Rav Meir, which we're going to have, Lo Rav Yehuda, nor the opinion of Yehuda, Lo Rav Yossi, Lo Rav Binasin. It's not going to be the opinion of any of these four Tanoim. Where are these four Tanoim's opinions found? In the following Brisa, the Tanya. We learned in this Brisa, Tosefta, Hakol Nidonim Berosh Hashanah, everybody is judged on Rosh Hashanah, Ugzar Din Shelahem Nechtam B'Yom HaKippurim, and the Gzar Din is completed on Yom Kippur. Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is the standard understanding that we have, that Rosh Hashanah is the start of Yom HaDin, and Yom Kippur, it's Nechtam, it's finalized, it's sealed, what your Din will be. That's Rav Meir's opinion. That certainly isn't the opinion of our Mishnah. Rav Meir doesn't mention anything about Pesach B'Tvua, Atzeres, Peres Ilan, Chag Nidon HaMayim, so clearly Rav Meir is not the opinion of our Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Omer, now Rav Yehuda's opinion is going to be close to our Mishnah, but not exactly our Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Omer, Hakol Nidon Rosh Hashanah, everybody gets judged in Rosh Hashanah, and then he adds, Ugzar Din Shelahem Nechtam Kol Echad V'Echad Bismano, and then the specifics, the sealing of that din is assigned to each item at its proper time. For example, the Pesach HaTzvua, like our Mishnah said, but we'll see that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is not exactly like our Mishnah. The Pesach HaTzvua, on Pesach, the final chasima of the din of the wheat is decreed. Batzeres HaPeres HaIlan, at Shavuot's time, it will be held. The fruits are going to do their final judgment is sealed. And B'chag in Sukkot, Nidon HaMayim. Then Rabbi Yehuda goes and continues, and he says, V'adam, what about man? Nidon B'Rosh Hashanah, the din Yom HaDin for men is Rosh Hashanah. Ugzar din shelo nechtam Yom Kippurim, and the Gzar din is completed on Yom Kippur. Now here's where Rav Yehuda differs from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah doesn't mention anything about Yom Kippur, and therefore Rav Yehuda doesn't fit exactly with the Tana of our Mishnah. Finally, we have two other shittos that are totally different than our Mishnah. Rav Yossi Omer, Adam Nidom Choyom. A person is judged every day based upon the pasuk Shemar Vatifkidenu La Bikorim. The end of the pasuk is Ulregoyim Tivchonenu, which we'll see in a moment, will be the fourth shita. So Vatifkidenu La Bikorim, you are being remembered or you're being judged every morning. So that's what Rabbi Yossi says. A person is judged every single day. Shenemar Vatifkidenu La Bikorim. And Rabbi Nosson dashes the end of that pasuk. Rabbi Nosson says, no, it's the end of that pasuk that's the critical factor. Adam Nidom B'chol Shah. Not, are you judged every day? You're judged every second. You're judged every minute. Shenemar, L'rigoyim Tivchonenu. The end of that pasuk from Iyov tells us that we're being judged, according to Rabbi Nosson, every second. Bottom line, the Bryce has four opinions. None of them exactly match with our Mishnah. Are you going to tell me Rabbi Yehuda was close? No cigar. B'chitem alola Rabbi Yehudi. You want to tell me that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda? Aye, and then how do you explain our Mishnah when it says that the final judgment is on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, for those respective items, so therefore, the Gzar Din is what it's talking about, V'chi Ketoni Mastis and Gzar Din, the final judgment, the Chasima, is on those days, so Rabbi Yehuda is in accord with our Mishnah, we got a problem, Yehachi Kasha Adam. So then, if it's the Gzar Din, so then Rosh Hashanah, according to the Mishnah, is also the final Gzar Din, that's the final Chasima, but Rabbi Yehuda says that the final Chasima is on Yom Kippur, and not on Rosh Hashanah. So how would you reconcile who the author of our Mishnah is? Amar Rava, it's the fifth opinion. Haitana, the Vei Rabbi Shmuel, our Mishnah is a fifth opinion. It's the opinion that they learned in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel. What was that? The Tana of the Rabbi Shmuel. They learned the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel. The Arba Parakim Olam Nidon. Four times during the year is the world judged. Exactly like our Mishnah said, that are those three of the Shlosh Regalim, they're judged on a different aspect. Pesach for the Tfua, for the wheat, the grain. On Atzeres, they're judged for the fruits of the trees. And on the Chag, how much water. On Sukkot, how much water there will be in the world. For Adam and man, Nidom Rosh Hashanah. Ah, the Yom HaDin is Rosh Hashanah, like our Mishnah said. Ugzar Din Shalom. And the Gzar Din of men is finalized on Yom Kippur. Our Mishnah said, Rosh Hashanah, the Chikatoni Masnissan, Atchilas Din. It's talking about the start of the judgment, Yom Adin, but not talking about the Chasima. So therefore, the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, this Braisa is perfectly in accord with our Mishnah. Now, how do you reconcile the idea that you're judged on Rosh Hashanah, and then you're judged, again, on these the Shlosh Regalim for their respective things? So the simplest answer, which the Mefarshim bring down, is that you're judged on these days how much water there will be, for example, on Sukkot. But when the water comes, so that can be judged at a different time. So there's two judgments, for example, with the water. How much water there will be, and will the water come at the right time? So that's how you can have a judgment for the whole world, the Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah, and then you can have specific additional dinim for water, for example, on Sukkot, and for the Peros Elon, etc., and the Tua other times during the year. So there are different aspects of the din that can be judged at different times. Now the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Chisda, my time of Rav Yossi, we had the Braisa, we brought down the opinion of Rav Yossi that says that a person is judged every single day based upon the Pasuk in Iyov, Vatif Kidenu, Labikorim. So the Gemara says, what's the reasoning of Rav Yossi? The Gemara is shocked at this question of Rav Chisda. What do you mean, what's the reasoning? Amar Taimi, the Braisa said his reasoning, the Pasuk in Iyov, Vatif Kidenu, Labikorim. So what in the world is Rav Chisda asking? What's the reasoning of Rav Yossi? It says it beferish in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what Rav Chisda was asking. Anan hachi kamridim. This is what Rav Chisda was asking. Mai taima lo omar ki Rabbi Nosson. Why did Rabbi Yossi accent on the first part of the pasuk, vatif kinenu libikarim, and not accent on the second part of the pasuk, libikarim tibchanenu, as did Rabbi Nosson? That is the question that Rav Chisda asked over here. Now, if you're going to tell me because the word tibchanenu doesn't imply judgment, bechina implies iyune bi'almahi, it means you're just going to be checked out. You're going to lahavchin, to judge, but you're not going to necessarily paskin. You're just going to look, do a bikur, a bechina, into the person's actions, and that's why Rav Yossi didn't like Rav Nosson's answer. So then pekida implies the same thing. Pekida means you're going to be remembered. Pekida nami iyune bi'almahu. It implies as well that it's just looking into the person. Who says that the word tivkidenu is any more implying judgment than tivchanenu? So again, Rav Chisda's kasha recurs. Why did Rav Yossi not say like Rabbi Nosson? And you could argue, why didn't Rav Nosson say like Rav Yossi? In any event, Rav Chisda answers, why didn't Rav Yossi say like Rav Nosson? El Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda explains, Taimud Rav Yossi mihocha, the real reason for Rav Yossi is based upon the following pasuk. It says that lasos Mishpat Avdo u'Mishpat Amo Yisrael Dvar Yom B'Yomo. Each mishpat, each judgment will be each day. So therefore, Rav Yossi says that's the real source of the pasuk, that a person is judged each day. The obvious question is, that's a great pasuk, and it seems, certainly sounds like Rav Yossi could rely upon that pasuk, but why didn't it mention that pasuk in the Braisa? Why did it give us this pasuk from Iyov? So the Sfas Evis brings down a beautiful answer, and he says, again, there's two types of judgment over here. This pasuk that we just brought down, Lasuk Mishpat Avdo, is a pasuk in Melachim that talks about the Jewish people. So the Jewish people are clearly judged at that point in time, every day. How do we know that the rest of the world is judged? Oh, that's what you need the pasuk in Iyov to teach me, that the word Vatifkedenu Libakarim, what does that mean? It means judgment. So you need both psukim, and the ultimate answer for the whole world is actually from the pasuk in Iyov, but we know that because of the pasuk in Melachim, Lasos Mishpat Avdo U'Mishpat Amo Yisrael, every day. But that's the source for understanding that Vatifkedenu Libakarim means judgment every day. I'm guessing Mistama, the Rabbi Nosson, would essentially use the same idea to teach us that it means you judge l'regoyim tivchonenu at the end of the day, but the Gemara doesn't discuss Rabbi Nosson's shita any further. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Yossi says, Kiman matzlino no idna, according to which opinion do we daven nowadays for aktsire? Aktsire Rashi tells us, based upon the Gemara in the Nedarim, that aktsire means cholim, sick people, and we also daven for Amriye. What is Amriye? So again, Rashi brings down the Mariye or Tamidei Chachamim, Shem Tushushe Koach. For the Tamidei Chachamim, they spend so much time learning that it weakens their bodies, it weakens their strength. So therefore, based upon whose opinion do we daven for the sick people, the physically sick people, as well as the people that have caused themselves to become sick because they're Tamidei Chachamim, they're spending so much time in the base medrash, they're not exercising, they're not eating right, etc. And the learning of the Torah saps their strength. So whose opinion is this? Rav Yosef the Amora says, Keman, Kirab Yosi the Tana, who says that you're judged each day. And before you bring down, it's not only Rav Yosi, it obviously is also Rav Nosson, who says they're judged every minute. So obviously, prayers that are said for the sick people or the very weak people, the Tamid Chum that are weak, so there's an opportunity to daven for them every day because they're being judged every day or even every minute. So therefore, the Tfilas will certainly help for those people. But according to the opinions of Rav Meir and Rehuda, that you're only judged at certain times during the year. So then, once a person's been decreed that he's going to be sick, what does your tefillah possibly offer that person? So therefore, Rav Yosef says that our idea that we daven for sick people really goes only in accord with the opinion of Rav Yosef and Rabbi Nosson. That, of course, is a little bit hard to understand. That according to Rav Meir and Rehuda, davening doesn't help for sick people. So the Mefarshim will go and explain that no, it doesn't mean that davening doesn't help. It means that certain things are decreed at Rosh Hashanah, and it won't help for those certain things that are decreed. The tefillos won't be as effective. But tefillos always effective, and there are certain things that you can always daven for, and that's why we obviously daven for the sick and the weak, even according to Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. That's the first explanation of Rav Yosef, that who our Mishnah goes in accordance with, it goes in accordance with Rav Yosef or Rav Nosson in terms of davening for the sick. Oh, no, you can say it actually goes in accordance with all the opinions. And this goes in accordance with what Rav Yitzchak said. The other Rav Yitzchak said, Rav Yitzchak says, no, even if you had a gzar din, it's never too late. We learn from Chizkiyahu HaMelech, afilu yesh cheru chida, munach agabi tzavarav, a person can still dive into a kosher broker. Even if you have a sharp knife that's against your neck, you're about to, Rachmon Islam, be killed, nevertheless, never too late to dive in. So whatever decrees there were, you can certainly daven before the decree, but Rav Yitzchak said you can even daven after the decree. It's never too late for a person to do tshuva. It's never too late for a person to daven. And this certainly fits in with all of the opinions, including even Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, who say that there's a certain time that there's a gzar din. It's not every day that you're judged, every minute that you're judged, but even if you're judged as a certain gzar din, there's never too late to a person to do tshuva and to daven. Okay. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehuda said the name of his Rabbi, Rabbi Akiva. Mipnei ma amra Torah, haviu omer bePesach. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us that we're supposed to bring the Korban Omer on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, and that matirs the new grain, that matirs the Chodosh, and makes it into, halachically now, Yoshan. Why? Mipnei Shah Pesach is Mantua, because, as we just pointed out, Pesach is the time that you're judged on the Tevuah. And therefore, Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, God said, Haviu lefanei Omer bePesach, go and bring me this carbon Omer on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, kedei shetizbarech lochem Tevuah shebasados. You're acknowledging that I control the world, and therefore, by bringing this carbon Omer, you're saying, now is the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to judge us on the grains of the world. So please, accept our carbon. Accept our understanding that you control the world and therefore give us a good crop. So it's, again, appropriate. Mida keneged mida. We're acknowledging you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by bringing this carbon omer, that you control the omer, you control the crop, and therefore go and give us a good year. And at this point in time, it's very appropriate to do it on Pesach. Similarly, Rabbi Yehuda continues and he says, in the name of Rabbi Akiva, why to bring the special kivsei atzeres, the shtei alechem, on Shavuos? What does that represent? So, again, it goes based upon what we learned in our Mishnah, because we're judged at Shavuos time on the fruits of the trees. And therefore, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Havi Lefanai Shtei HaLechem B'Yatzeres, Kedei Sheyis Baruch Hu Lechem Peros Ilan. Since we're acknowledging that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world and he judges how the trees are going to produce fruit, so it's very appropriate that we bring the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos to acknowledge that, and therefore Hashem will hopefully bless us and say, ah, I see that you're acknowledging that I control the fruits of the trees by bringing me the Shtei HaLechem, so therefore I will bless you and have the trees give off good fruits this year. Now the obvious question is, the Shtei HaLechem comes from wheat. The Shtei HaLechem is a offering. The carbon obviously is the Kivsei Atzeres, the two crossing that come, but the Shtei HaLechem is just supposed to be connected. The Peros Ilam was wheat. So why are we giving a grain, not fruits, over here? For the idea of the Shtei HaLechem that were judged on Peros Ilam. So there's a famous Medrash that's brought down that what was the Eitz Hadas? So there are four opinions that are brought down. A fig tree, it was an esrog tree, it was a vineyard, a vine, and then there's one that said it was a wheat tree, originally before the sin of Adam and Chava. So wheat wasn't something that you had to grow and harvest and turn into bread. You had trees that grew. The Margolis Hayam says that grew pumpernickel, they grew rye bread, and you just plucked off a bagel if you wanted a bagel, and it came right off the tree. You didn't have to go and process grain in order to make it into flour, and then to knead it and bake it, etc. So therefore, the wheat tree, prior to any sin, represents Peros HaElon, and therefore, the Peros HaElon is best represented here with the Shtei HaLechem, which is the highest form of food. Bread is a specialized, it's the most choshev, has a special bracha, it takes priority over all the other brachos, so therefore the paradigm, if you wish, of Peros HaElon was the wheat tree. And the Margolis Hayam brings down that in Erev Yomein, when Mashiach comes, this will again recur, and that we will have again trees growing wheat in the future, and we're not going to have to go and work so hard and harvest the grains and grind them up into flour, etc. So therefore, that's why the Shtei HaLechem is appropriate for Peros HaElon. Finally, the Braitza continues, Umibnei ma amra Torah naslu mayim b'chag. Why do we do the nisach hamayim on Sukkos, the special wine libations that we have only on Sukkos and not on any of the other yomim tovim? So Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, nislu lefanei mayim b'chag, kidei sheyis baruch lechem gish mishonah. Same idea, that we acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the rains, the waters of the world, and therefore we do nisach hamayim on chag in order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should say that we'll have a good year in terms of gishmei shonah. And finally, the last thing, the Amr Lefanai, the Rosh Hashanah, Malchiyos Zichronos Hashem. First, why on Rosh Hashanah do we specifically have the special Shemona Esrei with the Malchiyos Zichronos and Shofros? Why do we have this entire setup? It's again the similar idea. We say Malchiyos Kidei Shetamli Luchuni Alecha, that we should acknowledge and say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please be our king. We will be your humble servants. So that's why we acknowledge Malchios. Zichronos, what's the purpose of that? Kidei Shiala Zichronechem Lefanei Letova. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember us, that we should be having a good year. Remember us Letova for a good year. And finally, how do we accomplish this? Ubameh. So the Braisa concludes, Bashofar. Beautiful explanation of our Mishnah from Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Gemara continues on Rabbi Yavohu, Lama Toki Mishofar Shel Ayah. Why do we bedafka blow a shofar shel ayah? Now, technically, you're allowed to use any type of a horned animal shofar. The one exception being it's a machlokis, whether you can use a cow's horn. So Rabbi Yossi, later in the Masechta, on Dav Chavav, is brought down here by Tosos, by shofar. So technically, Rabbi Yossi says you can use any horn, even a para. However, we don't paskin like that. We paskin that you can use a horned animal's horns other than a para. But the preferred type of a horn, Amar Revo, is that we use specifically a ram's horn. Why is that? Because Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tiku Lefanai B'Shofar Shel Ayil, you should preferably go and blow a Shofar Shel Ayil. Why is that? The ram's horn, Kadesh Esko Lechem Akedis Yisuk Ben Avram, Umalani Alechem Kilu Akadetem Asimchem Lefanai. We specifically do certain things to kaviyocho, remind the Kodesh Baruch Hu. These are allusions. The smachta is really for us, not for HaKodesh Baruch Hu to remember, but it's for us to remember. Look at the Mesiras Nefesh that Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu had at the Akedas Yitzchak. So we bedavka want to remind ourselves, kaviyocho HaKodesh Baruch Hu, that the Akeda was such a great event. Please view us as if we were also doing the Akedah ourselves. We're binding ourselves. The Akedah literally means to bind. So that we bind ourselves to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and give us a good year. So that's why we use every, I don't want to say trick up our sleeves, but we want to use every possible connection that we can have to these earlier great, great, great avos and imos of the world. And therefore, we want to show and demonstrate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu our loyalty and fealty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, we use Dafka, a ayil's horn, a shofar for an ayil, from an ayil, rather than taking a different animal's horn, which would be kosher. Now, we have the case of the Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, but the first one is actually Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, because now we're going to mention a whole list of things that Rabbi Yitzchak says. So really, since we're starting anew, it shouldn't be the Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, because we haven't mentioned Rabbi Yitzchak till now. So that's why the Vav is in parentheses. And the Masoros HaShas says it should be Amar Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak tells us, well, I'm talking about Rosh Hashanah. Why bedavka do we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Or says, what? Well, that's the basic pasuk of Chumash. Lama talking? Because Rachmana Amar Tiku. Because the Torah says, Tiku b'chol shofar, b'kasi yom chagenu. So what are you asking? Why do we blow the shofar? Because Rachmana Amar, the Torah tells us. No, the question was, Elo Lama Marin. Why do we do a trua? Okay, the Kiyah, we understand. But why do we do a trua? Again, the Gemara says Marian, because it says so. Rechman Amar, Zichron Trua. You have to have a Trua. So again, what in the world is Rav Yitzchak saying and asking over here? So Gemara says, yeah. Elo Loma Tokin Umeirian Kishem Yoshvin. And we turn to Tezayin Umebeis, and as well, Betokin Marian Kishem Omdim. Why do we blow shofar twice? We have the Kios de Mumados and the Kios that are said be Yeshiva. Now, we stand up for all the tekios as a matter of covenant. But technically, during the Shemoneh Esrei, when they were blowing the silent Shemoneh Esrei, you obviously have to stand during the Shemoneh Esrei unless you're so infirm that you physically cannot. But otherwise, every able-bodied person must stand during the Shemoneh Esrei. So they would blow during the Shemoneh Esrei, in the silent Shemoneh Esrei, we blow. Some people blow in the silent Shemoneh Esrei. We also blow in the Chazaras Hashatz, but that is called the Tekios HaMu'umadim, that you're standing up for. And then you have the Tekios HaMiyushavim, the Tekios that you're sitting down for, because technically those Tekios could be blown while you're sitting down, because they're not during the Shemoneh Esrei. No, the minhag is to stand up for them, I'll cover it. But in any event, why do we have two sets of blowing? That's what he's really asking. And the Gemara answers, Kedei la'arvev ha-sotin, to confuse the sotin. How exactly does this work? So Rashi says, Shelo yastin, that the sotin shouldn't go and prosecute us. Kishi yishama yisroel mechavim nes ha-mitzos, when the sotin sees how much we love the mitzos, mistatmin, he's silenced, he's incapable of opening his mouth, he's shut up. Dvarv, he can't go and comment against the Jewish people when he sees, oh, we're blowing an extra time, so, oh, that shuts him up. Tosos and Dibur Amasko Kedei La'arvev adds additionally, and he says, from the Aruch, it says in the Yerushalmi, Bila Hamavis LeNetzach Uksiv Hoya B'Yamhu Yitokha B'Shofar Godol. It says that the Satan will be silenced, and this is based upon the idea that he's going to hear the shofar on that day, and that's when Mashiach's going to come, and he knows that his career is, so to say, over. So therefore, we confuse him. When he hears the shofar one time, he thinks, okay, this isn't Mashiach coming. When he hears the shofar being blown a second time, he thinks Mashiach is coming, so to say, and that causes him to not have any opportunity to go and prosecute against the Jewish people. Okay. Now here we have the Amar Yitzchak. Now we have a whole series of additional statements Rav Yitzchak made. And Rav Yitzchak tells us, Kol Shana Shein Tokim B'Tchilasa Merim B'Sofa, if you don't blow shofar at the beginning of the year. Tosus points out, we're not talking here about that it was Shabbos on Rosh Hashanah. That's why we didn't blow shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Tosus and Dibur Maskul She'ein tells us the Farsh B'Ilchus Gedol is bringing down from the Bahag that Lad de Mikla B'Shabbos. So we're not talking about that Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos. Elo, the Sialid onsa. Something came up, an accident came up. The chauffeur broke. You didn't have a chauffeur. The Nazis, Rachmana Luslan, came, and you couldn't blow chauffeur. So he says, any year that you weren't able to blow chauffeur on Rosh Hashanah, Marian Lebesofer, Nebuch, there will be a blowing of the shofar, so to say, at the end. There'll be a trua, which means a sign of sadness towards the end of that year. And why is that? Rav Yitzchak says, my taima, the lo i'arvev satan, because you didn't confuse the satan, so to say, the satan was able to go and prosecute you, and therefore, Nebuch, it's going to be a bad year. Similarly, ve'omar Rav Yitzchak, another statement that Rav Yitzchak made, kol shana shirosho betchilosa misasheres b'sofar, any year that starts off poor, Rosh is a poor person, if it starts off poor, then it will end off rich. Misasheris, you'll have a rich year. Why is that? Shenemar, Mereishis Hashanah, if you have subjugated yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you made yourself into a poor person in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying, I'm a gornished, I'm a nothing. Without you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm a nothing. So then, Mereishis Ksiv, it says, if you turn the year from the beginning into something that you're relying totally upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then it says, Mereishis Hashanah, V'ad Achris Hashanah. So if you are making yourself poor at the beginning of the year, then achris, which is a lashon of ashiris, sofa sheyesh lo achris. You'll have hope, you'll have tikva, you'll have fortune at the end of the year. Similarly, Yom Rav Yitzchak, another statement that Rav Yitzchak made, ain don in esa adam el olafi ma'isav shel oso shah. A person is only judged on Rosh Hashanah the way he is at that moment. And that's why it's so important that if a person truly has hirurim of tshuva, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu neglects what he did beforehand, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's going to do tomorrow. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to, so to say, look aside, because I'm judging you right now. And right now you truly have hirurim of tshuva. Right now you're truly trying to be a better Jew. So therefore, lefi ma'aseh shel oso shah, you're judged exactly the way you're thinking right at that moment in time. And this is based upon the famous psukim that we have in this week's parasha in Vayera, where it tells us that Hagar was thrown out of the house by Sarah, and she took Yishmael, and they left the house because Yishmael was a pera adam, and he was leading Yitzhak off the right path. So therefore, they threw her out, and Yishmael went. Shenemar kishma alkim el kol hanar ba'asher hu sham. All the malachim said, this is a good time to kill Yishmael. Look at what his descendants are going to do to Klai Yisrael. Look at all the car bombs. Look at all the vest bombs. Look at all the terror the Rechman Luslan, his children, are doing to Klai Yisrael. Yishmael is about to die. This will eradicate the entire seed of Yishmael and will save so many Jewish lives. Get rid of him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, that's not the way I work. I judge him ba'asher hu sham, the way he is right now. And right now, he doesn't deserve to die. Yishmael did tshuva at the end of his life. It says that he went to bury Avram. He went with Yitzchak, and Yitzchak came first. He acknowledged Yitzchak as the Bechor. He acknowledged Yitzchak as the true legacy of Avram Avinu. So Yishmael was judged as he was then, not what he's going to become. Similarly, Yom Rav Yitzchak, another statement of Yitzchak said, Shlosh Dvarim Maskiru Avodosov Shel Adam. There are three things that bring in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of your sins. These are as follows. Eluhein, Kir Notu, if a person walks behind a wall that's about to crumble, a wall that's leaning, basically he's saying, I need Zechusim to get out of this. So in Shemayim, they say, okay, let's look and see, is this person really capable of being saved? As Rashi says, Vovertacht, if you go underneath or right next to this crumbling wall, so Masker Avonosav, in Shemayim, they say, look at this person. Klub Roy, Zeh, Liotso Slonez, is it worthwhile for this person to be saved through a miracle over here? And they therefore check him out, and he may not have the zchusim to survive, and therefore don't go put yourself into harm's way. That's kirinotri, that's number one. V'yontvila, a person who davens in a way, Rashi says, somech al tviloso shetehe nishmas umitzavin l'chavin libo. This person says, oh, what a tvila I daven. And the Bach adds the words, ubatuach, he's certain that his tvilas will be answered. If a person davens and says, oh, that was a great one, actually. I got it made. Everything's going to come true. So that person, he doesn't have it made. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at him and say, who is this person that he thinks his tefillah should be answered? And again, Shemayim, they're going to look at you. You never want to have the sharp vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly looking at you, so to say. You don't want that microscope to examine you. You don't want to be examined under the microscope of these situations. And then the third one, Moser din al chavero. If a person's the Moser, if a person goes and says, oh, look at that guy, look at that guy. So you go and say, as Rashi says, Yishpot Hashem b'ni v'necha, again, from Lechtuch, Parshas Lechcha. Sarai kicks out Hagar, and she says to Avram, look what she's doing, she's making fun of me. So Yishpot Hashem b'ni v'necha. So therefore, she is judged first. Who are you to go and put somebody else, so to say, in the spotlight? So therefore, the Amar Rabbi, when the Gir said, we have Rabbi Ovin, but it says in the Masoros HaShas, it should be Rabbi Chanan. So he said, Kol HaMosu Din Al Chaveiro Hu Nenesh Tchila. If you go and say, hey, judge him, so you'll be judged first. And this is based upon Sarai, as I just mentioned. Shenema Vatomer Sarai El Avram, she is still called Sarai at the beginning of this episode. Vatomer Sarai El Avram, Chamosi Olecha. She said, you are have to take sides between a hugger and me. Yishpod Hashem Miniu Venecha. And therefore, afterwards it says in this week's parsha, "Vayavah Avram lespol l'Sarah v'liv kosa," that Hakadosh Baruch Hu took Sarah away prematurely. The Mefarshim bring down that she was supposed to die. The Sfasema says that she was supposed to die at the same time as Avram, but instead she was Nebuch taken away 38 years before she was supposed to die. And this is based upon the Midah Keneged Midah. The Sfasema says that she caused Hagar to be judged and could have caused her to die, and therefore, so Midah Keneged Midah. So she was judged, and the Midah Tzadin, the strict attribute of justice, decreed that Sarah therefore had to die. Sarah was an unbelievably great tzaddikus. She's the Rosh HaHimos, and at the same time, this Midah Keneged Midah judged her, and that's where we learn out the idea that Mosu Din Al Chaver was a terrible thing to do. Another statement that Rav Yitzchak said, there are four things that can cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rip up the Gzar Din that he has for you. What are these four? Elohein, Staka, Tzaka, Shinui Hashem, Vishinui Maisa. The four things are giving Staka. We have the famous three things, Mabir, Nesra, Gzera, Tfilot, Shuva, and Staka. So this parallels that. So if you give Staka, if you Tzaka, you daven, you cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shinui Maisa, which is the fourth one, could really be Tshuva. And then we have an additional one over here, Shinui Hashem, by changing your name as well. You're basically stating that I'm a new person. We have, when Rachmana L'Shan, a person becomes sick, and Nebuchadnezzar's not doing well, so there was often the Shinui Hashem. We change the name of the person, we add a name to the person, Raphael or something like that, and that should demonstrate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that, hey, he's a new person, we want a new lease on life. Moses says, Tztaka, how do we know that? Because we have the famous passage from Mishlei that says, by the giving of Tztaka, you can go and prevent death from occurring. How does that work? So I heard from my Rebbe that when you give money, money was life. It took me X hours to earn this $100. It took me this amount of time to go give this donation. So therefore, you gave your life, so to say, as Tztaka, that took me a certain amount of time of my life to go and give this Tztaka. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays you, neither can I give either. He gives you additional life. Tztaka, Tatsum, and Mavis. That's one understanding, many, many, many understandings. Tztaka, Davening, Dixiv, Vayitzaku, El Hashem, Batzar Lehem, Umi Mitsuko Sehem, Yotzeim. They cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered the Tfilos, a famous pasuk from Tilim. Shinu Hashem, where does that? We see a source. Tzev Sarai Yishtecha Lo Sikra Shema Sarai Ki Sarai Shema. So therefore, you see that she'll no longer be Sarai. Now she'll be Sarai, and she'll be able to go give birth to children. So Shinu Hashem can change her mazel. Tzev, and then it says right afterwards, Uverachti Osa Hakadosh Baruch Hu blessed her. Vegam Nasati Menu Lucha Bein, and she'll have a child. She wasn't have a child as Sarai, but as Sarai she could have a child. Finally, Shinu Maisa doing tshuva, an action, a Maisa. Tzev Vayar Halokim. Es Maaseim, with Ninveh, the famous Maisel with the Sefer Yonah, that Ninveh was told to do tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw their Maisim, they did tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that they did tshuva, not that they just put on sackcloth, but he saw that they did tshuva, and therefore, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do the terrible thing that he intended to do to them, because he saw their Maisim, he saw that they did tshuva. Finally, Gemara says, Yeshomim, there's a fifth thing, Av Shinui Makom, by changing your place, that can also change your mazel, so to say, and be an opportunity to start afresh. And that's also from last week's parasha of the Sefer, Yom HaShem Avram, Lech L'chol Mi'artzecha, and then it says right after that, V'hadar, V'hasecha L'goy Godo. In Padan Aram, Avram wasn't going to be Avraham, but when he went to Eretz Yisrael, V'hasecha L'goy Godo, you become a great person. So Shinui Makom can also work. No, why didn't the first Tana say Shinui Makom v'idach? He says, no, that was nothing to do with Shinui Makom. That was the Zechus of Eretz Yisrael. How's Zechus of Eretz Yisrael? Who? The Ahanyulei. The reason why Avram became Eschol Agoy Gadol was the Zechus of Eretz Yisrael, but not Lav Davka, because he changed places. If he went from Padan Aram, from there to France, so then nothing would have changed. Okay. Another statement, said, the person is obligated to go and visit his Rebbe on the Regalim. Where do we see this from? So we see this from the Isha Hashunamis when she went to visit Elisha. So she told her husband that I'm going to go visit Elisha. Her child had died. She didn't want anybody to know about it because then the nace would maybe not occur, that Elisha would go and resuscitate him. So she quickly asked her husband, "No, I need to get to Elisha." And he asked her, "Shnemai, maduat lechazil avayom, lo chodesh, lo Shabbos. Why are you going to visit him? It's not Rosh Chodesh, it's not Shabbos." And here you see that that's the source. Miklal, the Bechodesh, Vishabbos, Iboy Lila Mezel, that on the Yom Tovim, on Rosh Chodesh, on Shabbos, and on the Shlosh Regalim, a person has the idea that he should go visit his Rebbe. Okay. Finally, the last statement that Rav Yitzchak makes, V'yom Rav Yitzchak, Chayv Odom L'Tayres Asim V'Regel, a person has an obligation to make sure that he's tar for the Regalim, because you need Karbonus on the Regal, there's the Shalmei Simcha, you have the Shalmei Chagiga, so you want to be tar to be able to participate in these Karbonus. And then we see the Shenemar, it's based upon the Pasuk, it says, Uvinim V'losom Lo Sigol, you shouldn't touch the Nevela. Now, who's this talking about? So we have the Brisa that explains this further, Tani Nami Yochi, we have the Brisa in support of Yitzchak, and we'll understand this din that he brought down within the Losom Losigo as the source for the idea that a person should be matar himself for the Rega. So this is based upon the following. It says within the Losom Losigo, you shouldn't go and touch the Nevela because you become Tomei. Now, Yochu Yisrael Musar and Almagas Nevela. And I'd have thought that this is talking about that Yisrael is also to become Tomei, but that's not true. Talmud Omar, it says, Emor Lekonim B'nei Aron, that the Kohanim aren't allowed to become Tomei Mace. B'nei Aron Musarin, B'nei Yisrael, and Musarim. Only the B'nai Aaron, the Kohanim, are not allowed to become Tomei Mace. There's no prohibition for Yisrael to become Tomei Mace. V'alol Dvarim Kavachomer. This is Kavachomer. Umat Tuma Chamura Tuma Smeis, Kohanim Musarim Yisrael and Musarim. If only Kohanim are not allowed to become Tomei Mace, that's a much stricter Tuma. And it doesn't say anything about Yisrael not becoming Tomei Mace. So therefore, Tuma Kala, like touching an Avela, Lo Koshikein, that certainly only applies to Kohanim. If Yisrael is allowed to become Tomei Tumas Meis, there's no prohibition for Yisrael to go to a funeral, so there certainly is no prohibition for Yisrael to go touch a Nevela. So then what does it mean? Ella, Matam Loma Uvin Vlasom Losigo, that seems to be talking to Yisrael. So obviously this is the source, Borego, this is the source that Rav Yitzchak said, that even people that aren't Kohanim, even Yisraelim, they shouldn't become Tomei, any type of Tumah, even Tumas Nevela, because they won't be able to eat Korbanos on the Rego. Gemara continues and says, Omar Rabbi Kruspidoi, Omar Yochanan, Rav Kruspidoi, said name Rav Yochanan. There are three books, Shlosha Svarim, Niftachin, that are open, B'Rosh Hashanah, in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging three categories of people. Number one, book number one, Echad Shal Rishayim Gmurim. One is for the Rishayim that are total Rishayim. The Echad Shal Tzadikim Gmurim. One is for the total Tzadikim. Those are the easy ones to judge. The Echad Shal Beinunim. And then there is the Hamonam, the people in between. They're not Tzadikim Gemurim, Baruch Hashem. They're not Rishayim Gemurim as well. So how does the Kosh Baruch Hu judge them? Tzadikim Gemurim, the righteous people, the great Tzadikim, the total Tzadikim, Nechtovim, the Nechtomim Lealter, L'chaim. They're immediately written down. That's why we give the bracha, should be judged La'alter L'chaim Tovim L'Sholom. So the Tzadikim Gemurim should be written down immediately on Rosh Hashanah. Nebuch, the Rishayim, Rishayim Gemurim, Nechtovim, Nechtomim Lealter, L'misa. They're immediately written down for a terrible decree. So what happens to the Hamonam, the Beinonim? The Beinonim, Sluyim V'omdim. They're in limbo. They're held in abeyance until Mirashana, the Ad Yom HaKippurim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the final judgment for them on Yom Kippur. Zochu, if they're found to be righteous, if they're found to be for, you know, Zochus, Nechtovim L'chayim, then they're written down for life, year of life. Lo Zochu Nebuch, if they're not Zochu, Nechtovim L'misa, so then on Yom Kippur, they are judged for death. Amar Rav Yavin, Rav Yavin continues and he says, Mikra, where did Rav Kruspidoi, in the name of Rav Yochanan, get this from? So he says, it's based upon a pasuk from Tehillim. It says, Yimachu Misefer Chayim, V'im Tzadikim, Al Yikosevu. You will erase me from the Book of Life, from the Sefer Chayim, and with the Tzadikim, you're not going to put me down. So what does this mean? So, Yimachu Misefer, this is a reference to Sefer and Shoshayim Gemurim. They'll be erased from the Book of Life. That's referring to the Rishayim, the Nebuch. They're going to go immediately, Le'alter, Le'misa. Then it says, Chayim, that's for the righteous people. It says, Sefer and Shoshayim, they go immediately, Le'tov. Tzadikim, and I'm not going to be written down with the tzadikim, says Sifra and Shobenin. This is the average person that we have to wait until Yom Kippur for the Gezar Din. Alternatively, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omer Yocha. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says this is the source. If the Klai Yisrael did the Chayta Ego. So we have the famous conversation between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak says that's the source. Some of Yehocha. If you're not going to go and forgive Klal Yisrael, then Moshe Rabbeinu tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mecheni no misifrecha asher kasabta. Then go and erase me from the book that you have written. Everybody knows the famous misifrecha. So that means it won't be written down someplace in the Torah. And misifrecha means sefer chav, which is the 20th parsha in Chumash, and that is Parshas Tetzaveh, and Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not found in Parshas Tetzaveh. Alus Darshan, you'll erase me from the Sefer Asher, and Asher in Gematria is the Shin and the Resh is 200 and 300, that's 501 for the Aleph, 501, and the Gematria of Tetzaveh is also 501. So these are nice, cute ways to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfilled what Moshe Rabbeinu said, to a certain extent that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not in Parshas Tetzaveh. In any event, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu these words, and Rav Nachman Yitz says, this is the drasha for the three Svarim. Mecheini, no, that's a reference, that's an allusion, that's Sifra and Shal Rishayim. That's a reference to the Rishayim that will be erased from life. That's Sifra and Shal Rishayim. Misifracha, that's a reference, that's Sifra Shal Tzadikim. And then, Asher Kasapta, that's a reference, that's Sifra and Shal Beinanim. More continues on this subject with the following brisa. Tanya, we learn the following brisa. Beisham yamim shalosh kitos hem yom adin. There are three groups of people again in yom adin. Achash shal tzadikim gemurin, v'achash shal rishayim gemurin, v'achash shal benanim. Again, the same three groups: the perfectly righteous, the unfortunately the perfectly wicked, and then you have the benanim, the hamonam in the middle. Tzadikim gemurin nechtov nechtam liatul chayim olam. Again, the tzadikim gemurin on yom hadin on Rosh Hashanah are immediately granted l'chay olam. Next group, the second group, is the Rishayim Gemurim. The Rishayim Gemurim deserve it. They were terrible. Nechtov and Nechtov, and Liatul Gehenim. They're immediately written for Gehenim. And this is based upon the Pasuk, where it says, from Daniel, the Rabbim me yisheni ad masofar yokitsu, el chay olam, ve'el el charofos lediron olam. So this Pasuk says that there'll be those people that will sleep in the ad masofar, in the dirt, the dust of the dirt, and there will be for L'chai Olam forever, L'charofos for embarrassment, and Dirun Olam, and they'll forever be forsaken. That's the second group. And the third group is the Beinanim, Yodim L'Gehenim. They do go down to Gehenim according to this Braisa. And we turn to Yudzayin Amud Aleph, U'mitzavtzafin v'olin, and they go up and down. Rashi says, Tzoakin u'bochin, they're going to yell out and cry, Mitoch Yisurim, the sufferings that they're going to have in Gehenim, Sho'achas, but only for a short period of time, v'olin, and then they will come back up, and they'll be rewarded. Shenemar, this is based upon the pasuk that we have from Zechariah, where it says, Shenemar, Vehevesi es hashlishis, that's the third grouping, Ba'esh, with fire, that's Gehenim, Utsraftim kitzrof es hakesef, and I'll purify them like a silversmith purifies the silver, Uvechantim kibichon es hazov, like a goldsmith goes and purifies the gold, and then, Hu yikro vishmi, they'll call out my name, and also, and I will answer them. So, this is referring to the Beinanim. They'll go down into Gehenim for a short period of time. They'll be purified. They'll call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring them out of Gehenim. V'aleihem amar Chana, and about such people, did Chana say, Hashem meimis u'mechaya morid shol v'yol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts them to death, and then he brings them down to Gehenim, but then he'll ultimately bring them back up v'yol. Now, Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel says, Rav Chesed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this because of Rav Chesed, Mata Klab Chesed, that he wants them to go towards Chesed and not to Gehenim at all. V'aleim Omar, David, about such people, did David HaMelech say, Ahavti, ki yishma Hashem es koli. So it should be, I love it when HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to my voice, V'aleim Omar, David, kol ha-parsha kula. And that's the entire Tehillim there, is David talking about Dalosi, I was very, very poor. Dal is a poor person. Nevertheless, the li hoshia, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me. This entire capital refers to these Beinanim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves from Gehenim. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shiur.